and welcome to Ed and Friends. My name is Ed. I am an improviser from London, and we're back. We had a little summer break. There were weddings, there was travelling, there was all kinds of mischief, but we're finally back. Ed and Friends is back. Sketch Please is back. We've got new productions coming up, and thank you for tuning in. That's the business out the way. Let's have some fun. We've got not one, but two guests in the studio today, continuing a tradition of people not waiting for permission to chase their dreams. Got an old friend of mine and a new friend of mine who are doing exactly that. Now, let me take you back to my very first dormitory at boarding school. And I found myself sharing a dorm with completely new people, and one of these people is Jim, one of our guests in the studios today. And to this day, he remains one of the funniest people I think I'd ever met at that point.
It's so nice. Still teary.
But that's the thing. When I went into that first dorm, I found myself thinking, like, these are the funniest people I've ever met. It was like you and Cosmo and Ollie Holmes was next door. And I thought, ah, these are funny people. So it's no surprise at all to hear that Jim and Bob, who I met when he came to an improv show a few months ago, they're doing a web series. It's super fun. So let me introduce to the podcast Jim McCready and Bob Good.
Woo!
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
For the purposes of clarity, what is the web series?
The web series, it's a six-part web series we're going to be doing based around a failing band who's perpetually failing. Everything they do goes wrong. It's based on a lot of experiences that both Jim and I have had dealing with and being in bands. A lot of stories that we kind of want to capture on film, really.
Yeah, we've had the two different sides of things. I've sort of been a booking agent and a sound engineer for about 8 years now, and Bob has been a member of a band, or two bands.
Not a failing band, but
yeah. a few bands.
Okay, so you guys both worked in the music industry, and this is going to be a collection of some of the more eccentric stories, I guess?
It's kind of it's a tribute to people that have gone through being in a band and all the sort of adventures and sort of mishaps and all the terrible things that have gone wrong and all the good things that have gone right for them. So it's just, yeah, because there's so many people that want to be big in the music industry, you know, have their own ideas of getting into fame and getting into just sort of expressing themselves through music, but it's quite difficult. It always has been pretty difficult for people, but yeah, we're sort of focusing on the funny side of things.
And I suppose there's a natural contrast with music where there's so much emphasis on being cool and your image being sort of polished and perfect. And I guess that all comes a cropper when you actually work in the business and people are basically idiots, right?
Yeah. there's quite a few characters.
Everyone takes themselves so seriously when it comes to music, and yeah, that opens themselves up to so much, sort of everything can go wrong, so much ridicule in those people who take things far too seriously. And the whole point of being a musician is to have fun, to express yourself, not less necessarily just to be famous, you know. Yeah. And all these people that, you know, I've played, not in the bands I've been in, obviously, you know, it's not based really on truth stories, but a lot of bands I know, they take themselves far too seriously, and it shouldn't be like that.
Was it like sort of...
It's like that, there was a guy that sort of broke shit on stage, wasn't there? What was his name? Who was that guy? He just sort of broke shit on stage. You would sort of semi-sing a song and then go, all right, fuck this. I'll just break everything. Get out of the hammer and go, right, that's that.
Well, I think the Guillemots a few years ago used to have, like, as part of their band setup, they would have, like, mugs and bits of houseware and old pipes, and they would just run around knocking shit.
But not to a rubbish degree.
But that was the thing that was always starkly weird to me when I worked in music videos. Because the music video environment is obviously very high pressure, you're always on a schedule, and yeah, some of these musicians have personalities or images they have to maintain. And then when they actually get into this high pressure environment where everyone is taking themselves so seriously, it brings out sometimes a completely childish persona. Mm.
But it's not just bands that we're taking the mick out of. I mean, there's one.
It's the whole. Yeah, it's everything.
Like the laser guy. Can I talk about the laser guy?
Oh, of course, yeah.
I did a sound check for a gig once, and it was going well, and I went outside for a cigarette, and the sound man sort of came up to me, shuffled up to me, and he was like, "My wife left me the other day." And I was like, "Oh, sorry to hear that." And he's like, "Yeah, didn't get my hobby." And I was like, "Okay. Why are you talking to me? I'm about to go on stage." Like, "Yeah. I love lasers." And I was like, "You love lasers? Okay." He's like, "Yeah, I bought loads of lasers. I didn't turn them on downstairs, but when you're on, guys, you'll know." And so we went on, and when we went on, the lasers, it was like going to bloody Las Vegas, lasers going off everywhere, smoke machines. I couldn't see anything for fog and lasers hitting my eyes. Yeah, he did have a problem. Yeah, he really did.
Oh, shit.
But eventually he's going to sort of appear as the sound guy at different things, and then his laser obsession is going to get worse and worse. Mm. So he's going to be like, guys, yeah, I've got some new lasers. He's just be like, a whole ceiling filled with hundreds of lasers. Oh, obviously, man. That'll be CGI. Yeah.
Actually, I went to an ELO gig recently, went up to Manchester and saw it at the Manchester Arena. And I remember going into the venue and just being like, holy shit, do they still allow smoking in this place? There is so much haze going on. And it was so warm that night, I was thinking, is this just like, is this just sweat? Is this
sorry,
just-
where was this?
This was in the Manchester Arena.
Oh, yeah.
Up in Manchester. In case you thought it was in Sheffield.
Oh, in Dundee, yeah.
And then I was just like, why is it so smoky in here? And then suddenly, of course, it's called the Electric Light Orchestra. And the most incredible light display happened throughout the whole gig. And yeah, there's definitely a little bit of that guy.
Yeah, hopefully we want that to be the ending. It will just be, hopefully just be like that, smoke and lights and yeah.
Okay, wicked. So what made you start writing it? Was it just the case that you just thought, well, these stories are all great, let's just get them on paper?
Well, we had lots of stories like that. Originally, we were going to do a comedy sort of sketch show, and then we had some ideas based around our experiences working in bands and putting on gigs and stuff as little things here and there. And then we thought, well, there's so much material here. I'm sure even if I asked a couple of mates of mine, because they've been in other bands as well, we pulled together ideas. We've got a whole idea for a sitcom right here. And I guess that's kind of how we sort of started, really. I mean, it's still, you know, it's about a couple of months ago we started this, didn't we? We scripted the first, I think, three episodes we kind of done so far. We're looking to get the other three done soon as well.
The natural comparison to Dora is this is Spinal Tap, because it's based in the music world.
Actually, that's we've pretty much been trying to go to the opposite direction to Spinal Tap. We kind of want to follow the sort of, I don't know, the free-flowing kind of comedy aspects of Curb Your Enthusiasm and In-Betweeners, where it's sort of natural dialogue. And everything's sort of natural characters, and everything's just sort of real, you know.
No, but always been hugely influenced by sort of all the Chris Morris things, like Nathan Barley, Day to Day, Jam as well. So there is an aspect of that sort of dark,
bit of Graham Linehan madness.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, Father Ted, love Father Ted. You know, a lot of that, because we've grown up watching that, is you can see some of that through the series and through the way we write as well.
Yeah.
Speaking of the way you write, what is your writing process for something like this? Because clearly you're drawing from so much experience. How do you go about writing an episode?
Well, it was mainly Bob just coming out with the stories, and then I put together the script.
And beer helps.
Beer totally helps. Doesn't help me speak though, because I'm trying to burp and speak at the same time. So.
We are having a couple of beverages while we're speaking. So if there is a sudden burp break, you know why. And you guys are producing this yourselves. You're not affiliated with any company. You're just nutted up.
No companies. Just a sort of over the years, been saving up our little pennies, and we've got ourselves
snouts and trouts,
and we've got ourselves some cameras and some lighting equipment and audio equipment, and we're pretty much ready to go equipment-wise. But actors and actresses, we personally can't afford to pay them just yet. But we're just going to do it as a sort of pilot, see how it goes, and yeah, see what happens really.
Well, we love Spaced, and that's kind of, we grew up with Spaced, and ever since watching that, we've kind of wanted to do something in that scale, and that was a very small team that did that, and that's kind of what we want to do with this. We want to get a small, built little team and then work with it. You know, a family, that's why when we had our interviews with people, we wanted to get to know the person as much as to see how good they were acting, because if we can have fun with them, and if we know that they're good, we can then go to the pub with them, have a laugh with them, and then write creatively.
Yeah.
Okay, tin break. Edit point.
Tin break, go. Yay, lads. Cheers.
Cheers. Yeah. And that's something that Space did as well, of course. Like, they cast people that they knew. You know, they were all Simon Pegg's flatmates. Everyone was written to type according to their friends, and everyone had their dialogue taken from their own experience. And yeah, so that sounds cool.
Yeah, well, Nick Frost was just a mate of Simon Pegg, wasn't he? He had no acting experience whatsoever, and he was just cast as Mike. And he was a great Mike. He was Mike. He is Mike. You know, and since then, I mean, he's not a great actor, but he's done a lot of things in Hollywood.
What happened to Mark Heap? Was he a mate?
Well, he was in a series with him prior to that. He worked with Simon before. In Big Train and other series as well. So, you know, they're all mates and stuff, so it's good to get mates involved.
They all turn up in the Edgar Wright movies, don't they? The Cornetto trilogy and stuff.
I just find that's a bit hard with casting, if you're casting friends. Because if you go, oh, I've got a great role for you, you're the fucking weirdo. They're like, oh, thanks.
I
kind of want to cast this one girl. But mainly because, you know, she's quite a pretty girl. But the role is that she's a pretty girl that the guitarist starts to talk to, and she ends up just sort of chatting about nothing, about herself and her life and everything. But she's really dull, and she's classed as dull girl in the script. So I feel really bad for going, oh my God, yeah, you've been cast. It's brilliant. You're dull girl. Really bad.
Definitely had to do that in the past where you're like, there's nothing more awkward when you have to cast someone who's literally just there for eye candy. So you're like, sexy girl in bar, and like having a procession of people coming in being like, okay, it's my role to be the sexy girl. It's like, yeah, but we're doing art. You understand? This is art, what we're doing.
Just avoid the in brackets tits.
I get those offers all the time. You know, it's hard to turn them down.
Man with moobs.
Okay, you guys mentioned earlier that you actually work in music, but you're not necessarily filmmakers as such. What is it that is appealing to you guys about making a web series? Is it just because it looks like fun, and you just thought, well, if they can do that, we can do that? What's the motivation behind it?
Pretty much both those things, really, isn't it? It's what we've been into. We do like sort of messing around. As we said earlier, we like making sketches, and we've sort of done a couple in the past. We've written a few sketches, and it's sort of more often than not just us sitting in a pub making up stupid scenarios. But we've always wanted to film something properly and focus on a proper project, and I think this is finally it. We've got something in common that we know a lot about, a lot of experience over the years, and we're finally just putting our humour into our passion.
Nice. Mm. I think it's really awesome that you guys are just up and doing it. Like, it seems to me that in the 21st century, like, almost anything is possible in terms of media. It doesn't take much to pick up a camera, get some editing software, and just do it.
But the hardest thing is we've always had ideas since I've known you, since we started our band, which was awful. But we've always had ideas and dreams of things that we wanted to do. And that's the problem. I know a lot of friends have the same thing. They have a dream. They want to maybe open up a shop. They have a dream. They want to start a company. We've always wanted to do a web series. And we've always talked about it. We've always talked about doing a sketch show and stuff like that. The hardest thing is having the get up and go and the drive to actually go, you know what, let's stop it being just an idea and let's just go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
And sometimes from both sides, it takes one of us to sort of push the other person and go, come on, let's do this. We've got auditions tomorrow. I know it's after a wedding, but we've got auditions. Let's go and do that. Yeah. And then we go and do that. And then you'll then write the script as well. And you send it to me. Look, I've done the script. Let's kick on as well. So I think the hardest thing is just to actually do it. But once you start doing it, the ball starts rolling. You'd be surprised how quickly it then gets bigger and bigger, the snowball effect. And eventually you then have to do it.
I think it's kind of an age-old thing of, you know, when you have two good mates and you go to the pub and you just talk absolute shit. But then afterwards, you just think, oh my God, we're actually really funny. We should totally just show people how funny we are. I think we just kind of want to just work on that. You know, play on that factor.
Nice. But,
a lot of people have that, don't they? This sort of, you know, have that affinity with a friend, and then they kind
people need to know.
People need to know.
Yeah, they need to know.
So the secret behind this whole thing is that it's just
we
a platform
think we're hilarious.
For you to... It's just a platform to tell people how funny you are. That's fantastic. So when can we expect this to be available then? Because you're still in pre-production. You haven't even shot anything yet.
No.
No. Well, we're hoping to film in August. End of August.
End of August, early September.
Yeah.
Hopefully get out by October.
Yeah, I'd say that's a good one. Yeah. Hopefully we'll have the pilot definitely done by then.
Pilot definitely.
Halfway through maybe the second and third or third episode.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. we like to keep our followers up to date with what our interviews have been doing, so we can update people as we go along. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being in the podcast, guys. Oh, what's it called, so that people know what to look out for it as?
Untitled Web Series. We haven't got a name yet. The hardest thing is to name something, yeah. I've always found. I don't really want to rush in with a name that I regret instantly.
So I was thinking maybe One Foot in the Grave.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah?
Yes. So, yes. Okay. I don't believe it.
I've got a theme for it as well, maybe. One Foot in the Grave.
Guys, I'm very sorry. I think One Foot in the Grave exists. Shit. Can you come up with any other ideas? Like,
actually, I did have another one.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's called Keeping Up Appearances. Because, you know, you're keeping up appearances, you're in a band.
Yeah.
Or maybe, I don't know, maybe the lead singer's girlfriend is just sort of, you know, into bouquets.
Yeah, I think that one might be taken.
Yeah,
as well.
As well, yeah.
It's a shame, because these are great ideas, but I think they're taken.
Yeah.
I assure you it'll be something really clever. And you'll think about it and go, wow, that's pretty funny and clever.
Well, listeners, keep an eye out for a web series.
That's funny and clever.
That's funny and clever about a band and possibly a sound guy with the obsession with lasers.
Okay, well, thank you so much for being on the show, Jim McCready and Bob Good.
Woo! Love you.
Thank you. But before you go, we decided we're going to play, in a traditional Ed and Friends fashion, we're going to play a fun parlor game with you guys before the end of the show. We've come up this game earlier today when we were on beer number one. It's called Incorrect Impressions. Okay, so the name of this game is that we're going to ask each other to do an impression of some kind. And we're going to speak in... We're going to speak in the parlance of the impression they ask for, but we're going to do a pitch-perfect impression of a completely different person. Okay, so... Jim, you okay going first?
Please, I can't do any impressions.
Are you going to give me the name?
I'll give you the name, and then you have to
give
the completely incorrect impression.
Okay.
Alright. Okay. I would like to hear an impression of Morgan Freeman, please.
Who's guy? This guy!
Okay, Bob.
I can't do any impressions at all.
Well, that's going to make it even funnier.
Okay. That's good. It's going to make you good. Okay.
Okay, you've got to do. Jim Carrey.
I'm Jim Carrey.
What are you saying? I'm Jim Carrey. Oh, fuck.
I can't do this. This is why I write and don't act.
Oh. Okay, Ed.
Oh, that's no excuse. Okay.
Okay, you got to do Cyndi Lauper.
Cyndi Lauper.
Now, you know, us girls, we just want to have fun. You've got to show your true colours, the ones deep inside of you.
Who is that actually?
I was going for Michael Caine, but it's really difficult to pull off when you're like trying really hard not to laugh your ass off.
In a sauna.
In a sauna. It's the hottest room in the world right now. But you know what? We're going to go around the horn again because I'm really enjoying this.
Jim, Davina McCall.
And so we're here on Street Mate. I'm standing here in front of a camera, watching, waiting, looking, with my big hawk-like nose, prodding someone in the shoulder, asking, why do you not have a girlfriend?
That was David Attenborough?
No, that's Davina McCall.
Okay. Oh, goodness. Okay, give me another one.
I got an easy one for you.
Okay.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, Arnold Schwarzenegger. So easy.
Very easy.
I have to do an incorrect one, so
I need to do one little yelp.
Okay.
Look, you know, get to the chopper, you know. I'm not stupid, I'm a man, but I'm pregnant, you know. It's all right. I was in Twins, you know. I was with Danny DeVito, and it's a good movie. I'll be back. interesting.
We're back.
Did you get who that was?
Robert De Niro.
Ah, oh, I was going for Stallone. Never mind.
Oh, that was either or, though. It was either or. I was going to say either or. But it was just a, I'll be back.
You know, I'll be back.
Cool, that was Incorrect Impressions.
Hey.
Thank you very much for listening. You can find more podcasts.
Can I do an Arnie?
You want to do an Arnie?
Okay. Thank you very much for listening now. If you'd like to listen to more episodes of Ed and Friends, you can find them at podcastadventures.com. Janie.
And you can also find episodes of Sketch Please, which is also coming back. Send us your scripts. If you'd like to be a former, get in touch. And yeah, that's been our show. Thank you so much for listening. I've been Ed. These have been my friends. See you next week.
So I'm going to repeat all of that. Ha 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 ha.